happening today? What are you thinking about when you're walking down the street? Is your head in a cloud? Don't you want to know what's going on? Let's go! Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Let's check in with Mary Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Let's podcast. Let's check in with Mary Lynn. It's me, Mary Lynn. So I tweeted this the other day. You know how when you're having an emotional mental breakdown and the first thing you do is just go straight to Twitter? I say it like you know, as if we've all done it. I actually have never done it before. I'm usually pretty contained. I try to share something or promote something, but I was having a moment and I took to Twitter. Here's what I wrote. Hey, I'm an actor. The audition process has finally broken me. I'm done. Goodbye. Yours truly, Mary Lynn. Now, I still was in control, but it turns out this was a big deal. I got a crazy response. I won't talk about that right now, but I'm going to talk about what led up to this tweet. And I really meant it. And it feels like I'm quitting acting. Even though I was very specific, I said the audition process has finally broken me. That doesn't say I'm done acting. In fact, I clarified it later in a tweet. But let's just take that first initial tweet. And I'm going to tell you what led up to that. Okay. Now, normally, I get called on a lot of auditions. You guys, I'm pretty popular. And I've done it for a lot of years. I've done it for 20 plus years. I've auditioned for things. Even when I was on 24. I mean, it's more fun to audition when you have a regular job. And you're auditioning for an extra job. A side job, you know, a movie job or a voiceover. Anyway, I've never gone on an audition and been like, yay, I can't wait to drive across town and be in a room with people and be on display. This is part of the backstory that's leading up to this tweet, because I always have a general bad attitude, is what I'm saying. It's never easy for me. I've met actors before that are like, I love auditions. It's the time to work out my craft. I mean, I think in general, probably most people don't like it because it's an exercise in humiliation. And you are vulnerable and you're putting yourself on the line. And it really doesn't matter. Like the things that happen in there, you're giving it your all. And it really is not a personal decision for them. So you're putting yourself in a situation that's personal for you, but not for them. Although I know I've been on the casting side a little bit, and I think the people that are in on the casting process are going through that experience with the actors to a certain extent. Anyway, my point is that I never want to do it, and I always have a bad attitude. And I'm used to that. That's my mechanism. I have to peel back the layers of the attitude, the sarcasm, the bitterness, the judgment, the negativity, in order to get to the sweet nugget of vulnerability, so that I can go in there and do my job and just play with the material. And you really do have to be in that state of mind. So I'm used to what it takes for me to get there. But in general, lately, it's been getting harder and harder to get to that point, because the chips are stacked up on the other side, which is, why are you doing this? What are you getting out of it? Do you like this? Are you even into this? And there's also a lottery feel. So there's an addictive, to the point in my life where I think I'm getting better. I like to think that everybody progresses. That's what you want, right? You want a natural progression of becoming more healthy and more whole. You guys, I'm still fucked up. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be till the end of this lifetime. But I would say now I'm way less neurotic than I was at the beginning, where I was running on pure need for validation, pure neuroses. I mean, I was so nervous that one of my very first parts was the part of the nervous secretary. And I was so legit nervous that they were like, wow, we've never seen a better We've never seen a better nervous secretary. And then my manager was like, you're going to producers. She had to drive me because I didn't have a car. And I was like, what does that mean? And she's like, these fools down here, this is called the cattle call. You go two floors up, babe. You're in with the producers. And I was even more nervous, like on the verge of a blackout. But I didn't black out. I could see what was happening. And I could see the faces of the people in front of me fall as they felt bad for me as I tried to open my mouth and let the words come out and go, hey, man, just do that nervous thing you just did. Just do that nervous thing. And I started speaking gibberish and the words would not come out of my mouth. And then I just heard like white noise and kind of like a beep. And I couldn't speak. And it was actually a Meredith Baxter Verney vehicle. Meredith Baxter Verney, he used to be the mom on Family Ties. So I had a moment with that too. She was the executive producer. I went to producer. She was in the room and I looked at her and I just couldn't, my eyes blurred a little bit and the words would not come off. And all I could see was pure like, oh no. Like she just felt so bad for me. And then I somehow got out of that room. I don't know if I floated or I crawled. Or I just started eating my shirt. But I walked out of there and did not get the part. Go ahead and know that I did not get that part. And that was the beginning of my audition process. So I used that that pure terror to just propel. And people liked it. They said, this girl's got something. It's very watchable, it turns out, to see somebody just living in that zone of terror and neuroses. They're like, that is cute and charming. We're going to cast her as the weird girl. And I did that for years. And I was very successful for a long time. But now, see, this is the healthy part of it. Even though the story is about having a breakdown, it's actually because it's not just my normal bad attitude mechanism. It's not just learning how to go in there and be in the room today, please, Mary Lynn. This is an audition. It's part of your job. There's a nagging part of me that's been, it's been a couple of years in the making that's like, no, this isn't for you. You don't need to go be on display and be an option for someone's thing. You don't need to be the friend or the mom or the person who's an alien. I'm trying to think of what this horror movie, it was like somebody through the ages that has a demon living inside of them. And you see her in the 90s and in the next movie, she has a British accent, but it's like one scene of someone's who's warning these kids that the spirit of possession and evil. I can't even explain what the part is, but I said no to that one. So I've been like, you know what? I'm being more choosy. And this one was a part that I knew I could do. I was driving across town for it. So I already was not happy about that, but I was like, you know what? Have fun with it. You know how to do that. But something bigger inside of me was taking over the whole way there. I drive there. It's a mom. It's an exasperated mom. The show is about her teen daughter who is, coming into her own, and her mom just doesn't get it because her mom's in like a lot of personal pain of her own, and she's a waitress, and she's like, oh, get off my back. And she's frantic. She's looking for a pantyhose because she's a waitress. Honestly, a part I could do in my sleep, but I was like, hey, they want to see me. It's part of the process. Let me go ahead and drive 19 miles. And so I get to, if anybody in Los Angeles is there, it was on the Fox lot, you'll immediately know the horror that is trying to get into the Fox lot, speaking of a horror movie. But on this particular day, there were lots of instructions for the parking. And the first parking garage I went to, they even said on the paper, it's not this garage, but the garage isn't marked. And so I end up in this garage and something is amiss in my energy. I'm not able to hold on to all my faculties of patience and reason and even keel emotions. And I get to the bottom and I walk out the wrong door of the parking garage. So it spits me out on the main road and I'm not in a lot. So I scale the building. I walk around the perimeter. I go back in the garage. I go up to a table because I'm like, the valet, there's a dude standing there. And I try to ask him like, is this parking garage, whatever the name of it is? And he's like, no, Yeah, like he totally had an attitude with me, and I was like, "Can you not see I'm on the?" I was already on the verge of a breakdown, which I didn't even realize I was. And he goes, "Show me the ticket," and then asked me where my car was. Anyway, since I went out that weird door, I couldn't find my car so easily. So I call and I say, "Look, I'm going to be 20 minutes late. I went to the wrong garage," and I'm just taking my time because I'm like, "Whatever, yeah, this is what it is. Your car's lost. You're late." Nobody cares. I go to get out of that garage and it cost me $20 to get out of the garage. And you know, when you're just waiting for the arm to go up and I'm like, what am I going to do? Talk to the manager of the parking garage right now. And he says I was in there for like, I don't know. He said I was in there for 30 minutes. Okay. Here's what I think what happened was, I think I called my friend while I was doing the perimeter. And I was talking to my friend to see if he could calm me down, who I always call for wise counsel. And he was telling me the story of his wife, who was an actor, and the moment that she decided to quit. And I was very much like, I still had my walls up. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. And I was like really defensive in talking to him, like that kind of defensive where you're just on the edge, because if you let the feelings out, it's all going to come out. So I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe today's the day. Like I had like kind of like a fuck it tone of voice with him. And I was, I hung up the phone with him. And then I started crying, like primordial tears of like, this might be the day. And then I was really sad because this has been a really good business for me and I had a good time in it. And I was scared because I didn't know. And also I was just frustrated because I was in a parking garage and it's humiliating. But then, you know, my personality, I should have probably just picked up and gone home right then. But I was like, no, I'm going through with this audition. And then I think I started crying after I saw the valet guy. No, because I had been in there all that time. I was collecting myself. Because then I remember walking around in sort of an industrial park type area and a guy in a suit coming towards me. And this is also like when you haven't done this in a really long time, maybe ever. I was weeping openly in public and walking like in my cute little outfit and just like weeping to the point where my legs were kind of wobbly, like a not really holding it together, but still walking forward, weeping. And a stranger was like, "Are you okay?" And it was this guy who was much bigger than me. It was like a reverse hashtag Me Too moment. He was like, "Are you okay?" And he was like, he didn't want to get in my space, but he was concerned and he wanted to show me that he was concerned. And I was like totally blubbering. And I'm like, "I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay." I'm like, "Thank you for asking though. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm okay. And then I think I called my husband at this point and I was just like, "What the fuck am I doing? Nobody cares." And I'm in the parking garage. So it's going in and out. So I keep hanging up on him because I had found my car at this point. And I'm like, no one fucking cares about any of this. My audition doesn't matter. No, why am I spending my time and energy here? Nobody gives a fuck. It's over 20 years in the business. It's just going to go away. They're not going to call me. There's going to be no feedback. This is just a complete waste of time. What does this add up to? It's nothing. And I think I called my other friend back and he was kind of joking. He's like, "Give me your husband's number, like in case you jump off a bridge." And so then I texted and then I gave him my husband's number and I was like, "In case I jump off a bridge, LOL." And then I made it. Then I talked to the parking guy, right? And he was kind of dickish, like, "What, lady, why are you asking me? Wait, I can't get my order of events." Anyway, whatever. I made it out of that garage. Then I go to the proper garage. Then I park. Then I go through like a caged area, like a corridor that's got fences on either side. And at the end of the corridor is like a what do you call those? You got to get through for security. The turnstile. Thank you. Turnstile. Metal. And it was like a metal turnstile, like inside of a cage. And then there's a desk and you got to give your, and I'm waiting behind like a hip hop guy and a kid and her mom. And I give my, And you know, when you've just freshly cried, you're like open to the world. And the guy's like, hey, what's up? And I'm totally having a nice banter with the security guy. And feeling raw and fresh, connected to the world. I give him my ID. I'm just like, I'm going through with this audition. And walking down the stairs. And then there's a shuttle. And I've never before in my life. And I know some of you are like, whatever, you rich bitch, you're going on an audition. What's the problem? But I'm telling you, like, I'm a full grown adult. I'm just trying to park my car and go in and do this thing. And it's almost also what you're not expecting. I'm not saying anything. It's a big deal to have to get on a shuttle. But for me in that moment, okay, I take that back. It is a fucking big deal. Don't put me on a goddamn shuttle. Don't put me in an industrial park and spit me back out and put me like to go read the mom who can't find her pantyhose. Like, why are you doing this to me? I have a body of work. Also, I'm a person. I'm a person who has other things that, so I got on a shuttle, which has never happened. I guess there was some just, and again, I understand it's perspective because somewhere in there, my agent, I think it was in there that I texted all my representation and said, I'm not doing this anymore. And he wrote back, oh yeah, that, you know, that, it's been a nightmare lately. They have construction there. I've heard this from other people. And so again, like on a normal day, not a big deal, but on a day that's like a turning point in your life, it's like, I'm sitting on a shuttle as if I'm going for a tour. Ironically, Fox was the network that I was on for 9 years. I was part of the Fox family. Not on that day. No more part of the family. They're like, no, you're part of the, you go 2 miles away, so you're disoriented and you can't tell where you're walking to, if you're in a garage or in an alley or if you've made it to the lot yet. So then the shuttle, and you get off the shuttle. And then, no joke, people who have done this before have been on a lot. It's a 0.5 mile walk at least, and you've got a map and someone has explained to you, and you're walking past studios and you're trying to find the right building. And you know, on a good day you're like, wow, I'm in a on a lot, isn't this exciting? But on a bad day it's like, this is a nightmare, but fitting that this would be the last time. And so I get in there, and then it's another 20 minutes, and then I go in there and I get through the first scene. And it's pretty good. And also the mom, by the way, not a bad audition. You know why? Because I'm a fucking professional and I know how to use this shit. And none of my auditions, well, I mean, some of them are horrible. But by and large, I'm going to go with a solid 95% of the time I'm doing good work. Yeah, there's some clunkers. But guess what? I do a good audition. And the first scene goes fine. The second scene goes fine. The first one, she goes, how about a little bit more frantic? And I was like, yeah, a little bit more frantic. You got it. And I did it. And I held my shit in check because I knew she was just doing her job. And then I couldn't help it. I started running off at the mouth in between the first and second scene. I was like, oh, by the way, this is my last audition. And I think I started by saying that the lot is a nightmare. And they're like, oh my God, we know. We're so sorry. And I go, don't be. It's my last audition. So I'm enjoying it. And you enjoy it. And they're like, what? No, like, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. And I'm like, no, it's not you. It's me. This is just an exciting moment. So I'm really, you know, this is going to be really fun. And they're like, okay, you know, and then we just have that conversation where they're like, we don't want you to feel bad. And I'm like, of course not. You guys are great. This is terrific. But this is my last one. And so then I do the audition and, I leave, and that was it. Did I get lost on the way out of the parking garage? Yeah, of course I did. Did I take myself out to lunch? No, I think I got some gas. And then my husband texted me, it'll be okay. And I was like, don't tell me it'll be okay. That has nothing to do with what I'm going through right now. And then I got my period. Just kidding. Guys, come on. We have fun. And then and they called and they said, you got the part. No, that's not true either. But yeah, this was a turning point moment in my life. And I know it's going to be okay. And I know my husband didn't know what to say and he was trying to make me feel better. But sometimes like when the shit's hitting the fan and you got to go through it and you're figuring stuff out, it's like a blanket positive statement is not going to help. Like, I had to figure this shit out. I need to be sad about it, you know? I needed to cry in front of a stranger. I probably didn't need to tell those bitches in the casting office, like, I meant bitches in a cool way. You know what I mean? Like, my bitches. Not that they were bitches. They were very nice. But, you know, I needed to be there in that moment and let it happen. But that's what prompted the tweet. Hey, I'm an actor. The audition process has finally broken me. I'm done. Goodbye. Yours truly, Mary Lynn. And I got this amazing response from it. This might be talked about in more than one podcast because I was not expecting it at all. I didn't want anything from it, but I did put it out there. It kind of made me like Twitter. Check it out and check out the tweets that come after that. Hey, get in on the conversation, guys, because it's actually turned into kind of a thing. And it's exciting because usually I'm like, hey, guys, look at my comedy or whoa, that Trump or whatever. And this was something that really was kind of deep and true for me. And the response that I got was pretty legit. And I did a series of tweets after that sort of talking about more aspects of the business and the process that, you know, and also that I'm not fully quitting. I'm just not going through this audition process again. And so I sort of clarified that and I shut down people who said things. One guy was like, hey, you can do a Kickstarter. And I was like, this is not a conversation about how to get money from people to make stuff. That's not what this conversation is about at all. And even some of the well-wishers, I was like, okay, I'm not having a bad day. There's a reason why this is happening and there's a reason why I'm saying this. And so ultimately, it's a great thing to be able to state your position, even if, you know, it's a hard place to be right now. It's exciting because it will get better and it is stronger. And also, by the way, I respect people on both sides of the business and anyone who, I know this is going to sound, you're like, well, you just talked. It's telling us how shitty it was. But I mean, like, people who are still in it and can do it, you should do it if you have the energy for it. But if there is that, like, part of you that's trying to get validation from it and it's making you crazy, then you do have to take care of yourself and assess that and rest and be grounded and go back into that. And just for me, I've run my course with it and it took me this long and in this way and have this episode to realize it. So thanks for listening and we'll see you next time on Checking In with Mary Lynn.